This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Thursday, July 13th, 2023. I'm Caleb Brown. You'd think that Democrats broadly would want to not give a generous tax break to the highest income taxpayers. But many House Democrats are leaders in the push to expand the so-called SALT deduction, a federal tax deduction for state and local taxes paid. Cato's Adam Michelle discusses the deduction and the perverse incentives expanding it would create.
What is the status of the cap on state and local tax deduction that people enjoyed a great deal more of prior to the 2017 tax reform?
Well, it's still capped. The 2017 tax cuts cap put a $10,000 cap on this deduction as part of a broad set of reforms, and the revenue was used to lower rates across the board for all Americans. But there's still some folks in Congress that continue to want to talk about this cap and are agitating to fully remove the cap in sort of pending legislation. And so it continues to bubble to the surface and complicate sort of all legislative conversations, but particularly those that have to do with taxes.
And lawmakers in California, mostly Democrats in California and New York, and some other places would like to see this restored. What changes immediately if the state and local tax deduction is effectively restored to its previous robustness?
Yeah, so the particularly Congress folks that represent high income congressional districts in high tax states in New York and California and Illinois want to remove the cap, making it the deduction unlimited again, which is effectively in isolation would just be a tax cut for high income folks in these high tax congressional districts. Down the road, what this means is it makes it harder to extend the rest of the tax cuts that were paired with these changes to SALT when the 2017 cuts expire at the end of 2025. And so it's important for folks in Congress to remember that the classic tax reform recipe involves broadening the tax base and lowering the tax rates. The taxes were cut for 95% of Americans, and so uncapping the SALT cap imperils the continuation of those reforms. It's not something that's just done in isolation.
All right. So if that is restored, do these particular members of Congress, do they have a plan to either reduce spending or raise taxes in other areas?
Not one that I've heard of. I would love to hear their plan to reduce spending. That's obviously the correct path forward. As you know, Congress has a habit of keeping taxes well below the amount they want to spend, which then results in our deficit. And so cutting spending is, of course, the way to deal with these imbalances. But the SALT cap in isolation is also bad policy, regardless of how it interacts with the tax code.
Wouldn't repealing the 16th Amendment fix a lot of it? I ask you about that every time, and so far you haven't given me what I thought was a totally satisfactory answer.
This is your hobby horse, and yes, if we didn't have an income tax, we wouldn't be worried about any of these things, which would be a welcome relief to all of the Americans that have to pay their taxes on an ongoing basis.
I joke, of course, but on this issue in particular, we're talking about people paying taxes at the state level and taxes at the federal level and getting a deduction on one because of the other. And without the 16th Amendment, you have states literally writing checks out of state taxes paid to the federal government.
Yes. I mean, that's one of the perverse incentives that the income tax creates, especially with the SALT deduction in there. Before the SALT deduction was capped, you had politicians at the state and local level campaigning on higher tax rates because their higher income taxpayers could just write off those costs on their federal taxes, reducing some of that cost to the individual. And so the cap on the state and local tax deduction has sort of flips the script on local policymakers, making it that much more difficult to just sort of say, hey, don't worry, we'll raise taxes to pay for this new spending instead. They have to really grapple more so with the sort of trade-offs.
I hadn't really considered the fact that there are politicians in these high-income areas that could actually run on raising taxes because of the knowledge that the median taxpayer in their particular district would be perhaps advantaged in part by that kind of talk.
Certainly, it would reduce the cost of that tax increase for higher income individuals. There would still obviously be some tax increase that was felt, but some of it would be ameliorated by the federal tax code. And the flip side of that is it means that taxpayers around the country would be subsidize that tax cut or that the benefit that those higher income folks got. So in effect, folks in Alabama and Texas are subsidizing the higher tax rates in California and New York, and that's particularly perverse.
Is there an appetite for eliminating this deduction entirely?
There certainly is among some corners of Congress. If you remember back to before the 2017 tax cuts, the original proposal was to fully eliminate the state and local tax deduction. The $10,000 cap that we have today was the compromise with these members that represent some of these districts that get the most benefit from it. And if you look at the budget plan that comes out of the sort of most conservative caucus in the House, they also still completely eliminate the SALT deduction. So there's still hope, but the agitators for moving in the opposite direction are sort of just as loud, unfortunately.
Who is the ringleader here? Is it Katie Porter, among others, California-based representatives?
You know, I'm not sure if Katie Porter is the champion, but there is this weird doublethink on the state and local tax deduction, where progressive policymakers that represent some of these higher income districts both favor higher taxes on the wealthy, but also a reinstatement of the full state and local tax deduction. Curious to know how these two ideas are reconciled in their mind. If you fully uncap the state and local tax deduction, 60% of the benefit, that's about $300 billion over 10 years, would go to the top 1% of taxpaying households. If Democrats wanted to just cut taxes for high-income folks, I'd much rather them cut marginal tax rates. That's the sort of economically literate way to go about it. But unfortunately, that's not where the conversation is.
Adam Michelle directs tax policy studies at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.